Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome into the Friday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck in New York City. We've also got Clay in Atlanta, seeing our Atlanta team. Appreciate them making him feel so at home. And we have much to get to with you today, including the full reinstatement after the fact. All his back pay, all of his honors for deep state henchman Andy McCabe of Russia collusion fame or infamy. Remember that during the Trump administration, the acting FBI chief? The Biden administration has decided to give him back everything, essentially. Act like it never even happened that he lied on oath. He got fired. We'll talk to you about that in a little bit. Plus, we have some updates for you on the border. But Empty Shelves Joe is trending right now because everyone realizes there's going to be kind of a rough holiday ahead here with empty shelves, as if the name wasn't clear enough. People are already starting to see shortages of products that they want. And in some cases, I think you'll see shortages of products that you need, right? It's one thing if you can't get the latest Tickle Me Elmo doll or whatever the equivalent is for your kids for Christmas, which is, you know, you want to be able to get your kids the gifts that they should get or that you want to get them. But it's another when you start seeing shortages of, you know, or skyrocketing prices, which is also another factor in all this, of meat, gas, things you need to run your car, to heat your home, right? That's all a problem. But don't worry. We have Biden's best folks on this, including Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. And we'll get to him in just a moment. First, I want to say Jen Psaki had to address the issue of Ron Klain, the White House chief of staff, who liked that tweet about how all the stuff we're talking about here, Clay, is a high class problem. Here's Jen Psaki saying, look, inflation is a high class issue.
White House chief of staff Ron Klain retweeted a message yesterday, not once, but twice, that inflation and supply chain issues are high class issues. But some of the sharpest price increases over the last month included products that every American buys, beef products, chicken, eggs, regular unleaded gasoline, furniture, clothing, the list goes on. Why would Ron Klain tweet that? And would you agree that's a little bit tone deaf?
Do you think two tweets means more?
I'm just curious.
We're at this point because we've made progress in the economy. And what would be worse, in our view, is if the unemployment rate was at 10%, people were out of work, hundreds of thousands of people were still dying of COVID, and people weren't able to lose their homes. So that's the full context.
Clay, it would also be worse if we got hit by an asteroid tomorrow that killed every living thing here, but that's what we call a non sequitur.
Yeah, this is a real issue, right? Because the Democrats have abandoned the working class in this country. That's the biggest and most seismic shift, I would say, that is so far reflective of what's happened with the Republican Party, with Donald Trump as the standard bearer, is the country club Republican, for lack of a better way to classify that, the high class, the graduate school degree having, the individual out there who has the PhD, all of those people are pretty squarely in the Democratic camp now. And so the amount of tone deafness that is required to label things that impact everyday working Americans as high class problems. I mean, look, if Jen Psaki was going to adopt that logic going forward, you could argue that every problem that America has is a high class problem. They're not going to do that, right? But what I mean by that is we have a higher class of living than most of the rest of the world. So the things that we argue about in America are often a function of how high class our lifestyle is. For instance, there aren't a lot of people who spend time talking about woke political issues in countries where people are struggling every day to make a living, right? I don't think there's a lot of discussion in poor African, Asian, or Latin American countries over whether something is woke enough or not. They're like, hey, I'd like to be able to get my kid into school. I'd like to have enough food to eat. We don't have starvation issues in America. That doesn't mean that everything is perfect. And this is just so tone deaf Jen Psaki's defense of it is awful. And by the way, people out there saying, well, who is this guy, Ron Klain? Buck, a lot of people believe that he's the default president of the United States right now.
He's
that he is the most
decisions.
Influential person out there.
In third world countries, by the way, when they do talk about things that don't really like when they try to come up with some ideological non sequitur once again of, oh, well, it's because we're in the redistributive phase of whatever. That's because they're trying to get people to not think about the mess ups
yes.
of the government, right?
Yes.
It's always a, oh, just trust in the party, trust in whatever the plan of the elites who are in charge may be. You see this all across South America. They always find some external force, some other problem, some other conspiracy. And with Jen Psaki and this White House, they just are run out of real narrative. I mean, they can't point to very much at all that's helpful for them. And then you have the additional revelation of Pete Buttigieg, who is the Secretary of Transportation.
Yes.
Everyone's seen now pretty much the container ships stacked up, you know, 100, 200 deep off of some of the major ports, particularly off the West Coast in California. And there are shortages and there's supply chain issues, which is hurting businesses, hurting productivity, driving up prices. All of this is bad. Pete Buttigieg has been on paternity leave as the cabinet level Secretary of Transportation since the middle of August. And we are just finding that out now. I'm just going to say, you know, if we had planes that were, you know, dropping out of the sky and the head of the FAA had been on paternity leave the last couple of months, people would want to know what the heck was going on. And now they're trying to say this is about, oh, it's because it's Pete Buttigieg. Bull crap. It's because he should be doing his job.
Yeah. Look, I've got three kids, okay? I didn't take a single day of paternity leave. Maybe some of you out there are like, you are the worst human being ever. How dare you? How dare you have gone back to work the day after your wife had a baby? Some of you out there may consider me to be a Neanderthal. The idea that if you have a job this significant, let's take it out of Pete Buttigieg, since everybody's like, oh, the only, because what will immediately happen, Buck, is there'll be a headline, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton criticize gay cabinet secretary for taking paternity leave, right? I'm writing that headline for you already. So let's take it away from him. Let's pretend that Mayor Pete was instead President Pete. Are we arguing that the President of the United States, if he or she had a baby, that they would get months of not doing their job because of paternity or maternity leave? Now, maternity leave, there can be physical recovery. That's obviously a lot more significant. And by the way, I think women deserve every moment they get of maternity leave. Having a baby is an overwhelming experience. But the idea that you should take off months for having, like, the whole process to me is crazy, and that we wouldn't even know that this was going on.
Well, I mean, does his role, it's a cabinet level position in the United
yes.
States federal government. Does the role matter? Does it matter who does it? Does the person even have to show up? By the way, I would argue that a lot of federal government positions, as somebody who used to work in the federal government, you could eliminate and get rid of a
it's huge a great,
percentage
it's a great
of
point.
Them. And in this one, in this case, it's a cabinet level secretary, so you have to ask, if he doesn't have to show up, who does, right? If it doesn't matter if he does the job, why do we have anybody showing up to do the job? I guess they could all be remote and on leave at the Transportation Administration.
If you cannot show up to work for 2 months, you don't have an actual job. Let me just say that, all right? Because, first of all, when you don't show up for 2 months, if there's actual responsibilities at your job, other people have to lift up their amount of work to cover for you not being there. If you don't show up for 2 months and it doesn't matter, your job doesn't matter. And so all of this is crazy to me, particularly because we are dealing with a lot of times, Buck, I think you would say, like, the transportation secretary, it doesn't really matter. But this might be the time we're being transportation secretary matters more than it ever has.
That's what
before.
I meant by the FAA and the planes, right?
Yeah,
it's not
right.
just, sure, the secretary of education, you'd say, oh, Buck, if they weren't there for a couple of months.
Nobody would even notice.
Well, if there were massive protests going on at schools all across the country and they were calling in federal troops or some crazy thing had happened. I mean, in the world of transportation, in that milieu, if you will, what's happening at our ports is like DEFCON 2. I mean, this is a big deal, and the Secretary of Transportation is on paternity leave for a couple of months.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what if we went back in time and Eisenhower were having like a baby and he's planning D-Day? Would he be like, "Hey, I understand, you know, we got the big invasion going, but I got to tell you guys, Mamie just had a baby, and you're expecting me to plan the invasion?" And to lead D-Day when I've got a 2-day-old baby? I mean, I'm sorry, I got to go back to the States and spend 2 months on paternity leave to make sure this baby is okay. Like, at some point, you have a significant enough job, you have to show up and do your job. Like, I mean, and right now, usually this is the kind of job where you just stash somebody on the side and you're like, hey, you know, the railroads are fine, the chips are fine, Tickle Me Elmo is going to be on the shelves. And by the way, we're not going to run out of every product on the planet. And then we find out that this guy's been gone for a couple months. It's not a good look.
That's pretty much the way you could describe, I think, all high-level decision-making of the Biden administration circa the last nine months
or so. Like, if we were doing a draft of Biden's administration, who would be our first round? Like, this person has done I can't even think of anybody in the whole administration.
No, there's no one who has shown even a modicum of competency at this point. But then again, the left wing agenda, you know, we're seeing it right now. And I hate to be the rain on our own parade in a sense, but if they get through this budget bill, and they will get through $3 trillion, $2.5 trillion, whatever it is, there's going to be a lot of victory dance from the left, because all they really have to do is redistribute the wealth and fund their left-wing causes, and they feel like it's victory. So we should come back and sort of see.
Yeah. By the way, I was going to say, I'd like to hear from women out there, like, who had babies. If your husband had a job like transportation secretary, would you expect for him to take months off of paternity leave? Like, would this be something that you would at all find to be a decision that you would incur? 1-800-282-2882.
I know neither you nor I could take off paternity leave for this job. That
and
would
our
not
jobs
fly.
Are way less significant. That's a great question. If we called up, I've already had my babies, but if I was like, hey, you know, my wife's having another kid, I'm going to disappear for 3 months, I think they would be like, you're not.
That's not going to go over well. All right, we'll come back. We'll take your calls. 800-282-2882. And in the meantime, don't get caught up in all the hysteria around cryptocurrency. There are dozens and dozens of new cryptocurrencies this year alone, every one of them vying for the attention of an investor. By contrast, there's only a few precious metals, the most notable being gold. You can own it, you can save with it, you can hedge your bet against the value of a dollar with it. And by comparison to cryptocurrency, gold is the hallmark of consistency. If you don't yet own gold, now's a good time to do so. All right. I bought my own gold from the Oxford Gold Group, and I did so before they became a sponsor of this program that I host alongside Clay. The people working at the Oxford Gold Group have precious metals that can be delivered to your home. There's nothing like real gold on your doorstep, and it's not complicated. Call my friends at Oxford Gold Group. They will explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA, it's just a phone call away. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. Call Oxford at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Encourage you to go subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a moment. Search out my name, Clay Travis, or Buck Sexton. We're talking about the supply shelves quandary that the Biden administration is in. Empty shelves Biden. 1-800-282-2882. And we just found out that the transportation secretary has been on paternity leave for the past couple of months as this chaos has continued to build. And I put out the question, I'm curious what the moms out there would think about the idea of a transportation secretary on paternity leave for months. In other words, if your husband was the transportation secretary, and he said, hey, you had the baby, you did all the work, you have all the responsibility, primarily, let's be honest, of raising this child. Oh, by the way, I'm also going to take months off of my job, which represents the United States government, and in doing so, I'm going to leave as chaos builds and as disaster looms for the entire global supply chain. Would that be a decision that you would support? I'm curious. And I think we have some moms weighing in on that situation. And by the way, the moms could also be the transportation secretary. And I got to be honest with you, if Buck and I have to show up every day to do our job, which is nowhere near as significant as making sure global supply chains are working, it's crazy to me that Mayor Pete would not be showing up to do his job. It's just insanity.
But we're not cabinet secretaries. I mean, you know, we may be trying to defeat the commies every day, which I think is quite important. But technically, we don't have thousands and thousands of federal government employees that are supposed to make sure that a rather large multi-billion dollar agency runs the way that it should. But we got Vanessa. Clay, you wanted the moms to call in?
I wanted some mom reactions.
We got the mom battalions lined up here on the phone lines. Let's get Vanessa in Lexington, South Carolina. Hey, Vanessa.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
We're good, thank you.
First off, I just don't get it. I've had three kids. My husband went to work after every kid was born. Granted, he was there for the delivery and all
yes.
that. But someone's got to work.
Am I a Neanderthal, no, Vanessa, for having this perspective?
No,
like, I was there for, like, just like your husband, for all the babies being born. But then I went to work the next day. And I think, you know, maybe I took a day. I don't remember what exact day of the week they were born on. Maybe it was a weekend. I took a day. You know, but like, that seems crazy to me that we're setting this precedent that not only did, I mean, let's say you take a couple of days or whatever. Okay. But to take months off as the dad, is that crazy to you, Vanessa?
Actually, that is super crazy to me because I'm already at home taking care of a newborn baby. I don't need to be cleaning up after my husband, too.
Yeah.
Go to work. Make money. I'm good.
Vanessa's got it. All right, Karen, real quick in Clovis, California. Hey, Karen.
Wuss.
I didn't. All I heard was wuss.
Yeah, we're here.
He can get up and go put in 8 hours a day like real men do. And then he can come home at night and he can take that baby and put him on his bald chest and he can have him there and bond with him all night long.
All righty. Karen's got thoughts on it too, man. I told you,
I think it's a massive percentage of women out there because I think a lot of men are not experts on the idea of paternity leave. But I think there are a lot of women out there listening to us right now who hear, like, you didn't have the baby, right? I mean, I'm thinking about this from a woman's perspective, which is always a little bit dangerous, but you didn't have the baby. You're not having to breastfeed. You're not going through all the challenges, and you need to be out of work for months? I think it's crazy. By the way, pain, no laughing matter. You're suffering from chronic everyday pain. Just getting through the day can be a chore. Nobody wants to wake up with unbearable pain every day, and nobody wants to go through pain all day long. That's why you can join the hundreds of thousands of people, including Buck's dad and my wife, who have signed up for Relief Factor. They're getting hooked up for 70% of people. They buy more. It's great odds. All you have to do is pay $19.95. You can get a 3-week quick start for that price. And you can go to relieffactor.com, call 800-4-RELIEF, $19.95, 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF, Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
How do you know when you're over the target? Sometimes it's because you're taking flack. People coming at you. Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. And we have been talking this week about Joe Rogan, whom I'm sure you all know is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, podcaster in the world. And he had on his show Dr. Sanjay Gupta of CNN, who is the chief medical correspondent over there. And he got him to admit, despite Don Lemon, who I can assure you is not the chief medical correspondent of anywhere or anything, but despite Gupta saying that they should not have called Joe Rogan being prescribed ivermectin by a doctor as using horse dewormer, despite that, Don Lemon says that they didn't lie, even though they did say he used horse dewormer. This made CNN look very bad. So what happens? do the people that hold CNN up in the corporate Democrat media, do they say, wow, maybe CNN should be a little bit more honest? Maybe this is a learning opportunity. I wanted to bring this to your attention because you see, this is how the whole system, the propaganda machinery all around you, if you turn on cable news, with one exception, this is what you're going to get. If you turn on, you know, these different broadcast networks for whatever news show, I mean, The View is on what, ABC? I've watched clips of The View, which is enough.
We played them on here. That's as much as we can handle.
We play The View on here to make fun of how stupid The View is as a place where there's conversation about politics, how much ignorance is on display on a daily basis. But here you have, and I wanted to note this, Joe Rogan catches CNN in what is a massive dishonesty, a grotesque and dishonorable lie. And what is the response from the sort of CNN friends all around the media? Attack Joe Rogan.
The other thing about Joe Rogan, if you look at his, yes, he has all of these listeners. That's so wonderful. But some of the stuff that he has said, he's transphobic. He's Islamophobic. He has said racist things. I mean, another one with the trifecta of bigotry. And these people continue to listen to him. He has advised young people, if you're young and you're healthy, don't take the vaccine. I think if you are still listening to him, knowing his history, I'm not interested in reaching out to you.
This is what happens, Clay, when you catch the apparatus, which CNN is a key piece of, in its propagandistic lies. This is what they do. They attack you. They don't say, sorry, we'll do better next time.
Yeah, and this is the larger context of Democratic Party debate now. They don't debate issues, they attack. And in some respects, it's effective because what it does is it makes everybody so nervous to give their actual opinion because they're not even concerned about the opinion that they're going to give. They're concerned about what people are going to say about them for giving an opinion, right? So if you say, like we had Heather McDonald on earlier this week, Buck, and she was talking about the issue of crime in this country today, and she was discussing who commits crime. Young black men overwhelmingly commit violent crime in the United States. That is a statistical fact. There are many people out there who would be terrified to even say the sentence that I just did because they're afraid that by sharing a fact, they are going to get attacked as racist because that's what often happens, right? Hey, we have to solve issues. I'm just talking like I'm a police chief. I'm a white police chief. And I stand up in front of the media and I say, hey, we have to solve crime in our community. And the first thing we have to do to solve crime in our community is go into crime-ridden neighborhoods where crime is occurring most frequently, and that's where we can deliver the most improvement in our communities. And right now, those are inner-city communities that are, in many cities, predominantly black. Then immediately, somebody out there says, oh my God, the police chief is racist. He said that black people are responsible for most crime in the city. Well, that's statistically true. And you know this, Buck, as having worked at the New York City Police Department, the way to solve crime is not to throw tons of police officers more into jurisdictions where there's no crime. You need to increase the amount of police on the streets in jurisdictions where there is crime because it isn't evenly distributed throughout cities or states. And so using the data to solve the issue is massively important. This is like Stop and Frisk, where Mayor Bloomberg was suddenly racist for doing so. And so you know exactly what I'm talking about here. Even the conversation we were just having about Mayor Pete. So many of you out there are even nervous to say, hey, I don't think a guy should be taking 2 months of paternity leave because you're afraid that people will say, oh, you're homophobic.
Yeah, it's really because he's in a same-sex marriage, and so it becomes an anti-gay, that's what they say, it's an anti-gay attack, right?
I mean, which has nothing to do with it.
I'm anti-months
of people taking paternity leave, no matter if they have a serious job, I want you, or by the way, maternity leave. Like, if you've got a super serious job, I think it sucks that you have to go back to your job. But that's a challenge, I think. I don't want anybody to take off tons of time because everybody else has to do the job instead of you. I just don't think it's that complicated. But that's where people are. They're terrified.
I agree. So we also have the police in Chicago, the police union president, Cataranza. He was on Laura Ingraham's show last night, and he was telling people, because we were talking about cops in New York and what they're doing, he was telling people that they should hold the line against the vaccine mandates. I want to talk about this because it's one thing when you're talking about people losing their jobs in a whole bunch of industries, including healthcare, by the way, where healthcare shortages, I mean, they've denied people, I think someone got denied a kidney transplant recently because the donor wasn't vaccinated. We've already seen that stuff. When you start saying you're going to start firing cops, though, and Chicago is planning on doing just that, people get pretty upset about it. Or here's what was said.
I've made my status very clear as far as the vaccine, but I do not believe the city has the authority to mandate that to anybody, let alone that information about your medical history. It's the city's clear attempt to force officers to Chicken Little, the sky is falling, into compliance. Do not fall for it. Hold the line.
You think they'll hold the line? This is the question, because if you start firing cops, especially in a place like Chicago, which has a homicide rate per capita that I think is about three times, something like that, three times what it is in New York and Los Angeles. It has a high, and New York and Los Angeles are going through a rough time right now. That could be an issue, but I mean, everywhere else, Clay, I'll say the mandates have resulted in firings or compliance. No one has yet. It's not like Southwest Airlines has come to a screeching halt. We thought maybe something was going on, but that seems to have backed down too.
Well, it's a mess, right, for Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, because on the one hand, if a lot of these police officers are willing to hold the line, then she's got a major mess because they already have an unbelievable crime problem and the police officers aren't going to show up. On the flip side, if she's not pro-vaccine mandate, then she's also upsetting her Democratic core constituency. So this is a real challenge. And this is what we were talking about using Kyrie Irving, for example, as an illustration. There are very few people out there who can afford to make a political statement about COVID vaccine mandates and not work. I bet 99% almost of employed Americans right now, if they missed a month's worth of pay, they would be in severe economic straits. And so what you really need is people who are in great economic shape, who can afford to fight these battles. And sadly, I am sympathetic for the cops, but how many cops do you think can go, Buck, in Chicago a month without making a paycheck?
Forget about just the, I mean, not forget about, but put aside for a second, even the paycheck issue for a lot of these guys, they're 10, they're 15 years in. The big benefit of that public service is the pension, which, I mean, in the NYPD, it means you're going to have people that, I mean, the NYPD pension system is basically healthcare for you and your family for the rest of your life after you retire, plus a pretty nice pension year to year on top of that in terms of income. People aren't going to walk away from that. So, you know, they're saying hold the line in Chicago. They're saying that they won't allow them to actually fire, that they won't actually go through with firing these cops. Coercion so far has been working, and we haven't seen one instance really of massive pushback that has completely stopped the vaccination mandate juggernaut. But we'll see. I'm hoping that we're wrong. By the way, 800-282-2882 on the lines. It is open line Friday, and we will get to your calls. We got a dad on the line.
Is he fired up about our paternity
thing? Fired up. He wants to arm wrestle Clay on this one. We'll see how this goes. We'll get to it in just a moment. Mike Lindell is the inventor of MyPillow, and he fit us for our pillows. Clay and I have them in our homes. We've also got the Giza Dream sheets, the My Towels, My Slippers. The robes are amazing, too. If you haven't tried those, I'd highly recommend them. Plus, the mattress topper will help you sleep better than you ever have before. Mike Lindell will help you get a great night's sleep. And you really need to try the Giza Dream sheets. These are ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable with a luxurious finish. And they're available in multiple colors, styles, and sizes. Clay, I got three pairs of Giza Dream sheets at home because they're the best sheets I've ever had.
They're phenomenal. I got them on my bed. I got them on the kids' beds. And you can get them right now. Buy one, get one free. Promo code Clay and Buck. All MyPillow products. 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets. Buy one, get one free. Code Clay and Buck. You can also call 800-792-3269. Get hooked up today. MyPillow.com. Use the code Clay and Buck. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us on a Friday, open line Friday, 1-800-282-2882. A lot of people want to weigh in. I put a poll question up on a variety of topics, by the way, people want to weigh in. I put a poll question up as I am stunned by this. Mayor Pete, transportation secretary, has been on paternity leave since August as everything in our transportation infrastructure has been falling apart. And I asked a question, did the dad in your lives take a week or more of paternity leave when a kid was born? You know, that can be your dad, that can be your husband, that can be your grandfather, could be anybody out there, obviously. Yes, 10%. No, 90%. Over 2 months on paternity leave to me is crazy if you have a serious job. And maybe I'm a Neanderthal now on this issue. I had three kids of my own, and by I had, I mean my wife had, and I was in the delivery room. And I don't really remember taking any time off. I know I do a job that's not necessarily the most important in the world, but like, Buck, you're not married. If I'll just be honest, if one day you get married and we're still doing this show and you were like, my wife had a baby, I'm going to be on paternity leave for the next 3 months, I'd be like, really?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, right. But I mean, just
no chance.
There are people out there, like, we have a job where we're partners, and there are a lot of people out there that have partners in work. And I think most men would react that way if their partner in their profession, you'll say you're a law partner, let's say you're an accountant, and it's almost tax season, and your accountant has a your partner has a, his wife has a baby, and he says, I'm taking 3 months off. I mean, in my own company, if I had employees, and we don't have, I don't know when the paternity leave requirement is, but if somebody wanted to take as a paternity leave more than a week off, and even that I would think would be a lot because I didn't take it, I would be like, man, that feels like a lot for a job that it's hard to replace. And by the way, when you don't go to work, everybody else has to work harder in theory to replace you. But we got a lot of people who want to weigh in. Maybe I'm a Neanderthal.
We got a dad in North Carolina, Dwayne, who's got some thoughts on paternity leave. Mr. Dwayne, thank you. Welcome.
Welcome to you guys, too. Hey, I'm going to change the chant to Let's Go Clay. No, nobody's going to laugh.
Oh, no. Instead of Let's Go Brandon, I like that. Yeah. But is it a positive chant or is it a derogatory chant?
I'm just messing, man. My wife had our kid, and I got 4 weeks off. And what was nice, my mother-in-law came and stayed with us for the first 2 weeks, and then I worked.
There's a lot of people out there that say they want to go back to work if their mother-in-law is going to be staying in the house for 2 weeks. So you got a month off. So what was the process at work? Is that like a standard process?
Yeah, I think you can go up to 3 months now, but it was.
What do you do for a living?
I'm in biotech.
So did other people not have to lift up their amount of work because you weren't there? That's my thought. It's like, you know, kind of a lot of jobs are teamwork related. When you're not there for a month, are you working from home or are you totally dialed out and not doing anything work related?
Yeah, well, I think people, regardless of when you take time off, like look at some people that have 4 or 5 weeks of vacation compared to someone that has two. That person that takes those 5 weeks off puts more strain on the person that has two than the person that has two puts on the person that has five.
Granted, but usually when you have paid time off, it's predicated on you having been there for years, right? So like the person who has more paid time off than somebody else, usually that's an accrued benefit of having worked at an employment place for a long time.
Right. Well, then I guess when the woman has a baby, she shouldn't get any time off, too, especially if she's a worker. Then
no, I don't think that's true because there's a physical. Thanks for the call, by the way. There's a physical difference in the work that is required in a woman having a baby. Right. And a man being there to watch the baby be born.
If I had had like major knee or back surgery.
Yes.
And I needed to take off 2 or 4 weeks or whatever it would be to recover, that's one thing. If I had a spouse who was like, my husband just had major knee surgery, so I'm also going to take off a month, whatever it may be, or, you know, well, you got to say. If my wife just had knee surgery, I'm getting my things confused.
Having
here.
A baby is a monster physical, mental struggle for a woman on the level that a man doesn't experience. So, and that's not even to consider if you have, let's say, a C-section and it's accompanied by significant physical surgery.
Yeah, but the trend,
as well.
I mean, the Democrats have created a trend nationally where people now have an expectation that there will be paid leave. There's federal workers now have these paid leave programs. That's something that I don't say this even in, you know, in the Trump administration, there was a lot of talk from Ivanka in the White House about paid leave. Remember this stuff? I mean, so this has become an expectation that people actually have.
There are a lot of women out there that don't get a long time off for maternity leave. Like, my wife did not get 2 months off, and she had a baby. She's a teacher. She had to use her paid time off for part of her maternity leave and then go back. I mean, I think there are a lot of women that don't even have the opportunity to take substantial times off. I bet most women don't feel like they get months of maternity
leave. Well, this is why it's turning into something like a minimum wage requirement, or it's the government stepping in saying that there are going to be mandatory lengths of time you're able to take off. And then, because as we know, according to Democrats, men can get pregnant too. That means that you also have this imperative to expand the leave policy so that it's not gender based, to all the stuff you're saying about how women have and I do believe the science is clear. Women have a harder time when it comes to giving birth than men do. I think that that's, I think
probably
the science
more
is
medical
clear.
Complications in general than
you
men.
You may not have seen this, Clay, but today there was actually a Teen Vogue article that referred to non-prostate owners. This is a thing. Also known as women, non-prostate owners. This is the new term. So
I didn't know that I own my prostate, by the way. That's,
I mean, you definitely don't want to. You don't want to rent it. You want to have one that's
yours.
Well,
that's a good point.
So we've got more calls coming the next hour. 800-282-2882. Open Line Friday continues. Plus, we got Alex Berenson joining in the third hour of the program. So that'll be 2:05 Eastern. Talking about the latest on COVID. Friday Friends, we're going to start calling the Friday segment. Anything else, Clay?
Nah, we got loaded story. By the way, funny little bit from Atlanta. I'm next to the Braves Stadium. I'm going to tee off a little bit on Rob Manfred, who deserves it. And maybe I'll be a Neanderthal. More on the Tourney League issue.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.